Holy crap, Vink, it's 2012.
Oh, wow. Well, that kind of snuck up on me.
Yeah, right? I think people know about this already. And in fact, if they're in the distant future, they're like, ah, that's old news, 2012. That's so like 5 years ago, 100 yeah. years ago. Because 100 years from now, they're going to listen to our podcast.
Oh, definitely.
So
kids will be made to study it in school.
Naturally. So in 100 years, I want them to know when they listen to this episode precisely what this show is. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, what is this show?
Gosh, that's a really good question. When we started, I'm not even sure that we knew, but I think since then it's become this podcast about contemporary video game news with like a retro gaming bent. Does that sound right?
Ooh, yeah, I think so, because we mostly talk about new stuff here. I mean, occasionally we go for a, you know, flashback topic, yeah. but we mostly talk about new stuff, and then I just can't help bringing up old stuff that it relates to, because
it's because we're old.
We just know so many things.
Yeah,
too many things.
it's really true, and we just can't wait to tell people about those many, many things. And that's what we do on the Famicom Dojo podcast. We talk to you about the things in our brain that just are screaming to get out. And so maybe a show like last week about user-generated content will bring up this weird esoteric thing about how you could save your tracks and site bike, but not really.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is like retro gaming therapy.
Yeah, right.
You know, like I've just got so much information that I've stored up that I really have no use for, and saying it out loud helps confirm that it really happened.
Right.
It's like your grandfather's war stories.
Yeah. You know, back in my day, we had to run uphill both ways or something. Yeah.
We should link the old man episode.
Definitely.
Not that. I don't know. But the thing is, the people who liked that episode have seen it and they're listening now. The people who didn't like it have have unfriended us. So
that'll go in our show notes for sure. But yeah, so you know, we do this podcast every week, every Friday, so far anyway. It's on Fridays. And we have a new topic every week, and we try and keep it nice and fresh. And apparently people love listening to the show while driving to work or folding their underwear. It's amazing.
Now we've reached two key demographics.
I've been trying to break in on the underwear demographic for a long time, let me tell you.
I know. And I know this is an audio-only podcast, but yeah. Sean's usually in his underwear when we're doing this.
You weren't supposed to tell anyone that.
Maybe we can edit that out later.
Okay.
Well. but since we're a game, we're a show with a retro bent, and I think this show is therapy for our listeners too, because some of them already know almost all the stuff we're talking about in this podcast, but yeah. I think they're listening to be like, yeah, that really did happen. You know?
Right. It's like a confirmation of our hobby and existence.
One such user, Ugly Joe, has filled in that blank in my mind, whatever. Remember, I said I wasn't exactly positive that this really happened, but yes, Excitebike did still leave that the save thing in, and he's confirmed that for me.
Excellent.
And the U.S. He writes, the U.S. manual for Excitebike reads, save and load menu selections are not operable in this game. They have been programmed in for potential product developments.
Ominous. Well, you know, it's entirely possible that they did intend to release something like the disk system in the U.S. And it's entirely possible that the code would have been able to interface with such an add-on at some point.
Oh, yeah.
In the future have actually worked. It's possible.
And it might have used that same unused port on the bottom of the NES that would have hooked up with a disk system. Yeah.
Exactly. So you know, maybe they could have retrofitted it to work okay with existing software, but clearly they never did.
And, of course, the other two games that we couldn't think of at the time, Daniel Hathcock has told us that one was Wrecking Crew, and he tells a very sad story about levels that took longer to make than my Excitebike levels that just went away.
Right.
You can read his full email in our comments section. And then Ugly Joe came back in, once more showing his amazing knowledge of video games by saying that the other game in the programmable series was Mach Rider.
Right. God, there are like 14 comments on this thing. And granted, some of them are us, but...
Yeah. Woo! Mostly us going, oh, yeah.
We should have known that. We run like, this show. Like,
I knew this because I had Wrecking Crew. I don't know. But anyway...
Yeah, yeah, it's 2012. I'm sorry that we forgot to reintroduce the show at the top of the year. But, you know, granted, we were kind of rushed because it was MAGFest. And then last week was kind of a little hurried, too.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. But we're back, and we're going to try to continue doing Famicom Dojo. I think it's been improving.
Yeah.
I think we're starting to kind of hit our stride now. We're getting some good feedback from our users, which lead us to topics that we didn't even consider. So we're going to keep doing that. And at the end of the show, we are going to do a little listener mail segment.
Yes, excellent. So
because
yeah.
we got something worthy of reading on the air. So
it happens. All right, I guess it's enough talking about the show. Let's get to the show.
I'm going to start with a pretty important message.
Right.
You gotta just say no to some games.
Right.
I know they look really attractive and all your friends are playing them, but some games, you know, well, ask your parents.
No, Vink, whatever could you mean?
Well, you know, they're deadly.
No. That no, people blaming video games for like gun violence in the schools and things like that. I don't believe that.
Well, oh, maybe, but jury's still out on that.
Okay.
One. But no. I mean self-inflicted violence.
I'm not okay.
Okay, some games are so addictive. Maybe good? Don't know. So have you noticed the game doesn't have to actually be good to be addictive?
Yes.
But anyway, some games are so good that people are actually dying to play them.
Wait, you mean literally and not just like in the sense that it's like, oh, I can't wait for the Wii U to come out or something like that. I'm dying.
No. Nor am I talking about Cartman freezing himself so he doesn't have to wait for the Wii to come out.
Right. Wow. South Park reference. Nice.
Yeah. Old South Park reference. Okay.
Oh, God. I guess that would be like 5 years old now, wouldn't it?
Oh, my.
That's frightening.
No. That would make me old, and that can't be. So anyway... what I'm talking about is these stories you get, and not to stereotype, but a lot of them seem to be coming from Korea.
I was going to say, isn't this just really a problem in Korea?
Oh, no. It's China, too. And, like, America, not so much from the self-inflicted, but I'll get to America in a second.
Okay.
But people are so addicted to games, probably there's some StarCraft involved.
Almost certainly the StarCraft involved.
They do these day and a half, 2 day nonstop benders, drinking energy drinks and playing games until their heart just goes, I've had enough.
That's sad.
That is so sad.
But
like, it's so, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
The weird thing about most of these stories is that it happens like at like one of those 24-hour internet cafes.
Yeah,
where
like,
someone can just sit down. They don't go to the bathroom. They don't eat or drink anything except for perhaps those aforementioned energy drinks. And then they just keel over.
And no one like went, dude, maybe you should go home or get a job. You know?
Right, right. There's like no
they're
time.
They're like, go. Star that craft. I don't know. What do you do in StarCraft? No, I'm just kidding. Fight the Zerg. Oh, the Zerg are definitely from Toy Story. Oh, mental note. Toy Story,
I'm sure.
Real-time strategy game would sell a lot. Okay, Disney, if you're listening, I thought of that.
Oh, we've already established that Nintendo listens because they dropped the 3DS price to the exact price point we suggested, given
exactly.
our wonderful economic model of what they must earn from it.
Yes, yes.
So why wouldn't Disney?
So Disney, we totally thought of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, and like it's gotten so bad that like in China they've passed like internet, you know, well, China's passed a lot of internet laws to be fair.
Right. Just but ask Google.
Some of them are to curb how long people can play games, and they even shut off some game servers during certain hours so people can, I don't know, take a breather.
Yeah.
They forgo social lives. Been there. Forgo sleep. Been there.
Yeah.
Go food. Haven't been there yet.
Yeah, I don't think I've been there either, but man, I have gotten close. Let me tell you the tale of a game that has done this to me.
Is this City of Heroes?
Not yet, although definitely tore into my social life.
Okay.
The one that made me forego sleep, but not necessarily food, was Civ 5.
AKA, those simulation games. Those are what get you.
Yeah, yeah. And like I can kind of see how like StarCraft being like real-time strategy and like your brain having to like go the entire time. That can be strenuous. But the thing with like Civ, and this is like what makes you just want to slap your forehead and like, how can this guy be so stupid? But the thing about Civ is that it's a turn-based game.
Yeah,
and
you
almost
can stop at any time.
Literally any time. And I play against a computer like 100% of the time. So there's like no one to upset if I stop playing. But
okay.
I can't do it.
Well, that sounds sad, but I think what's even sadder is have you played Jetpack Joyride?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You haven't played Jetpack Joyride?
No.
It's wait. Don't play it.
Okay. Right. Gotcha.
I think that's the point of this show.
Okay.
You shouldn't play it because it's really good.
See, I don't have a problem playing good games. I have a problem stopping to play good games.
But that's the thing. Like, this is a game where it's one of those like endless runners. Although in this place, it's an endless machine gun jetpack game.
Right.
But
right.
The average game lasts, you know, under 2 minutes.
Okay.
Because you go until you die. You go until you hit something.
Right.
You know, you can get upgrades and you try to get the best run, how far you can get. You've probably played a game like that in the name of an Adult Swim produced title.
Yeah, Robot Unicorn Attack. But
Unicorn Attack.
Yeah. I got to admit, it's different in that respect in that
yep.
there just comes a point when it's like I had the awesomest run ever and
yep.
it's kind of like gambling, right? It's like, oh my God, I won $300 in this one hand, and then you're just like hoping that you're going to get that have that happen again, but you like lose all this money in the process, and like there just comes a point. I'm terrible at gambling because I just don't have a high tolerance for that. So there just comes a point where it's like I'm not going to hit that again. You know, it was nice while it lasted, but I'm going to stop now.
And that's why I was able to stop playing Robot Unicorn Attack. But Jetpack Joyride's evil because you earn coins while you're going through the game too, and those coins buy you upgrades so you can have a longer run the next time. So you're constantly getting longer runs and upgrading, and it's just this whole one more. I just want to do it one more. But this is a game you could stop at any time because each game is 2 minutes long. But you're just like, okay, this one, and then I'm going to bed.
Right.
This one, and I'm going to this one, and I'm finally getting off the toilet. This one, so Jetpack Joyride. It's made by the fine people at Half Brick who did Fruit Ninja.
Oh, Fruit Ninja. Oh, man. Just one session of Fruit Ninja makes my arm so tired. I haven't been so exhausted playing the game since, like, Samba de Amigo 10 years ago.
11, what are you
12 years
about?
Ago.
What are you talking about?
Fruit
your
Ninja?
Arms.
Oh,
finger?
There's a version of this for Kinect.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. Is it good?
Yeah. I mean, it makes my arms tired.
Ah, well, that's good. But so I guess the point of this show is like some games are so good that they maybe actually should have a warning label. I mean, some games have the warning label on them as an advertising ploy, like warning, abandon your social life. You know, but like, yeah. It's not as tongue-in-cheek as they think it is. You know?
No, no. Okay, so really good examples of this are MMOs. Like, just pick anyone that anyone would play. I'm sure, like, World of Warcraft is, like, the stereotypical example. And again, calling back to South Park, they've made fun of this. And it's it's such a good parody because it's really not too far from the truth, especially knowing some of the people that we've known in college
all those many years ago. Otaku Anonymous house.
Yeah, there was this place, you know, not like a proper frat house, but for all intents and purposes, virtually the same thing, where there were just people I knew. Not many of them, mind you, but enough that...
It was a nerd frat.
Yeah, totally a nerd frat.
It was a nerd... They didn't have, like, keggers. They had lanterns.
Yeah. There was
and keggers.
Yeah, and keggers. There was the stereotypical amount of college partying going on. But, you know, most of the time when those things weren't happening, there were people locked in their rooms playing World of Warcraft or something similar.
Did any of those people ever graduate from college?
Yeah, they all did. In fact, the OA house is no more, sadly. It lives on in various incarnations, although the most recent version of the manor is now gone. As well, but you know, we're all getting older, you know, pushing 30 or over 30.
Yeah, shut up.
And but you know, in my case, it was never World of Warcraft. I played City of Heroes, as you mentioned before, and
how would I know that you'd be into the comic book based MMO?
Well, you know, there's various reasons for that. As with many things, even in the nerd world, it involves a girl. And at least in our case, like, one of the ways we could spend time with each other because we were a continent apart. Again, a typically nerd problem.
Oh, that's so lame.
Yeah. No.
I mean, sweet. Sweetly lame.
I spent quite a bit of time in this game, wherein I found that I don't actually like playing these kinds of games with people. I like kind of just soloing, as they call it. I hear, speaking of MMOs, that the Old Republic is perfect for that, where you mostly just play on your own, and there just happen to be other people in that universe that you're sharing it with.
I could deal with that.
Yeah, so maybe see, but that's how they get you. It's like, oh, that doesn't sound so bad, and I'm sure I'm going to try this game now, because as anyone who listens to this podcast knows, I love BioWare games, and I've often described Dragon Age as an MMO without the M, the second M, or I guess the first M. Well, whatever. The point is that it's not really multiplayer.
It's like a James Bond movie without Judi Dench.
Oh, which is almost all of them.
It's missing an M.
There have been other non-Judi Dench M's, you know.
Yeah, I know.
And they were dudes.
Like, yeah, they were. Well, Judi Dench is kind of a dude. Okay, anyway.
So City of Heroes, So City of Heroes is unique in that it's really based around the team aspect, kind of distilling the best parts of, like, the Justice League and the Avengers from DC Comics and Marvel, respectively, where everyone on the team serves a specific role where, you know, like, someone's a healer, someone's, like, a scrapper, someone's a tank, like, Superman's a tank, for instance. A scrapper might be potentially, like, Batman. He'd be a technology scrapper, I think, with all his gadgets and gizmos and whatnot. And maybe, like, martial arts. Mixed in there, you know, but typically magic users would be healers or, you know, buffers, stuff like that. So there's, especially the higher level you get, it's basically impossible to solo because the levels and the enemies are designed so that one person going alone will get totally creamed unless they have their team to back them up. As awesome as this might sound for, like, having an active social life, what this really does is makes you want to spend time with people that you might not know, like, in your everyday activities, people across the country, across the world. And it's like, we have to raid tonight. You know, we have to do it, like, you know, like, three times a week at this time to this time. And it could take hours. It could take all night. And I was never a fan of that. So that's probably what kept me from staying longer than, like, the year I played. But
having to meet up with people in other parts of the world at weird hours to go online to accomplish something. I would hate that.
I don't know what you're talking about, guy who lives on the other side of the planet from me.
This podcast.
This is totally different, though, because at worst we do it once a week, and it's only about an hour long. It's pretty time-boxed, I'd say.
That's true. But anyway.
And it's productive.
For me, we're going to go farther back.
Okay.
One of the first real the first console-based MMO? Possibly.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Phantasy Star Online.
Yep.
Called it. Dreamcast. I mean, there were plenty of MMOs on the PC before this, but this might have been the first console-based one. Not sure. It's the first one that I cared about, though. And also the last one.
I see.
Got broadband in my college dorm. That was cool. Got the broadband adapter.
For the Dreamcast,
Had to get the Japanese install disc because the American version of Phantasy Star Online did not officially support the broadband adapter.
What?
So I had to download and basically hack into. Hack is too strong a word. I'm using hack in the same way Jurassic Park uses hack, which means I liked computers.
Ah.
But, I got this disk image, put it in, configured this thing in Japanese, which I did not read at the time, but through a walkthrough, and like made it work with a broadband adapter. Because like the functionality was still in the game. It was just you had to like go around to get it. But once you got it working, it would work forever. So
okay.
So anyway, doing that, and I'm playing this game, but mostly I wanted to play with the people who were also in Catherine Thomas Hall, which was the dorm I went to,
aka KT,
the KT, yeah. So I was playing with like people down the hall. I'd be like screaming down, like, "Hey, heal me!" I mean, you can use a keyboard with it, and you can type messages, but it was way easier just to shout.
So you need like other games need things like TeamSpeak or like Xbox Live has a party chat now that you can do.
It had a really interesting like way of communicating internationally, though. It had like a symbol based language, so if you were competing with someone from like a country that didn't speak English, you could communicate in these symbols.
Nice.
And it would like translate it to their language.
That's
you know,
pretty
you
could ingenious.
Only make simple sentences, but it's really, really neat. Except it's a kind of an action MMO, so like to do that, you're kind of like being killed by a dragon. But it was a neat concept. It was a very neat concept. But this is before TeamSpeak, maybe contemporary to TeamSpeak, but this is pre Skype.
Yeah, it was the early aughts. So, years before I ever even heard of TeamSpeak. So that was, I'd say at least preceding it by like 3 or 4 years.
We could have used like AOL Instant Messenger's like chat function, but like
whatever.
But the thing is, broadband speeds were not exactly as good as they are today. So if we would have done both of those at the same time, we might have got lag.
Yeah,
but
especially on those university connections. Well, university connections are usually pretty good.
Not, well, anyway. So played that for a long time, and then I finally decided to for two reasons. One was that I had played a female character because I don't know, I just do that. But
yeah, me too.
I was the one time I went online with people I didn't know. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, it's hard to party up with people that you don't really know outside of the game.
I was called bad things.
Oh, because you were a girl.
Because I was a girl. Yes.
See. Way back when we did the Women in Gaming episode, I think I was 24. See, it was too bad you were sick because you could have added something to that conversation for sure. Because it's amazing how people will be treated just by their tune being female, and
but this,
men are pigs.
One of the male characters in the game kept, I mean, can't be too explicit in a game like this. It's pretty limited in scope, but he kept crashing his character into mine. He's like, "I'm getting some of that booty." And I'm like, can we fight this dragon thing? And he's like, after I get some of that booty. Actually, I'm using the word booty. He wasn't quite as nice as that. But anyway.
I see. Family podcast, I understand.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I was like, game? Hello, game? Game? And then the other two people in the party were like, huh, this is more fun than game. Oh. And I'm like, I'm a guy. I just like this character. And then I was told that I was of an orientation that I wasn't previously aware that I was a member of. But in terms that I think members of said organization would not find flattering.
How dare you turn me on with your artificial digital avatar? You must have done that on purpose, you pervert.
But that made me think, like, oh, these are the people who play online games. And that is a totally unfair statement, because there are some great people who play online games.
It's not totally unfair.
But I don't think I'm wrong in saying that, like, if you're not playing with people you know, there's a high likelihood that things such as this will happen. You know?
Yeah.
But the thing is, the other thing that stopped me was one time I was playing this game, and my roommate comes in and he's like, don't you have a class right now? And I'm like, what time is it? And I look at it and I'm like, I was thinking, like, if I put on my coat right now and run, I will get there on time. And I went, I've probably already missed it.
Yeah.
And kept playing the game. And that, after that, I'm like, oh, this is not good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's the thing. Gamers in general probably are people who have kind of addictive personalities, you know.
Right, which is why we play games well into our adulthood.
Yeah,
I would think. There's definitely like a stimulus reward system built in, and the ones that can manipulate it the best get this obsessive behavior going. Can you say Farmville or Mafia Wars?
And that's not even a gamer game thing. Oh, if anybody requests me to look at their farm or join their Mafia Wars things, you are no longer a friend of mine.
Oh, sorry. That's harsh. That's harsh. Well, no,
so, Sean, I'm cutting you off.
I understand. I got obsessed with Mafia Wars for a bit, but that's a different kind of thing, I think, than what we were talking about before, because there are things I'll binge on for a long time and then just be totally sick of and never want to play again. And Mafia Wars was one of those things. I wasn't really interested in Farmville, although it does, for all the world, seem to me like on a larger scope, things like Harvest Moon or...
Don't say it. I love Harvest Moon. Don't say it. Please, I might play Farmville. Don't let me play Farmville.
I was also going to say Animal Crossing.
Oh, no. What's the website?
No. But that's why Zynga makes all this money. Is not only, you know, do they have this, you know, addictive system, but they're leveraging the world's largest social network to do it.
Yes. Yes, they are.
And so it's brilliant, honestly.
Oh yeah. It is. Getting people to pay real money for recycled electrons. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
This is amazing.
Yeah. So like, even though I was asked lots and lots of times to like give me your real money, because you know you want that reward cycle to be shortened as much as possible, and in games like Mafia Wars, it's like only so many things you can do in a day, and it's like, well, do you want to play more? Just give us a little money and you can play more. But I never wanted to pay more money, so
it's like the mice. You've heard of that experiment where mice were being given, I think it was cocaine.
Okay.
Like every time they hit a button, a little bit of cocaine would come down.
Okay. Okay.
Whatever, and they do it, but like after a few days, the mice were just hitting that button like crazy,
mm-hmm.
and they died of starvation and dehydration because all they wanted to do was get that reward, get that buzz. Yep. They didn't care about anything else, and they just died from it. Now, this podcast is not entitled Games Are Cocaine, although I can think of a few anti-game proponents who have probably tried to make a similar statement. But But, like, they do have that kind of quality. You push the button.
Yep.
You get the high, but the high lasts less and less the more you play a game. So, right. But now they've introduced the freemium model where it's like, hey, you know that reward? How would you like it if you gave us some money and you didn't even have to play the game to get the reward?
Yeah, exactly. That does a couple of things, actually. Talking about MMOs again, because a lot of them have gone to this model where it's like, well, you get the bare bones stuff for free instead of paying a monthly subscription. But if you want extra features, you got to pay for those. Which, like, given how much money you can spend on a subscription-based MMO, it's actually not that bad. Because I was paying $15 for City of Heroes for the year I was playing it, and I didn't cancel my account for another year, even though I didn't play at all. Because I was always like,
you didn't want to lose your character?
Right. I didn't want to lose my characters and lose my progress. And I was like, I'll go back to it. And I never did.
That's why I was a member of FARC for 6 years.
Right. So what What's 15 times 12? That's like, they got $180 for me for doing nothing.
What do you mean? They did exactly what they're doing. They held your account and they pressured you into keeping it.
Yeah, right. That's like three Xbox games, or PS3 games, or almost four Wii games that I could have been playing instead. And so that's. At least in the case of MMOs, that's kind of why you keep playing it, because even after that point where it becomes less rewarding, you kind of feel obligated. It's like, well, I'm paying this money. I can't get rid of my account. I'm going to lose everything. Reactivation is going to be a pain in the butt. And so it hooks you. So then you just play less and less and just keep paying the exact same amount of money for less and less experience. And it's fantastic for them, but it's not addictive anymore. But you're still... convinced that, it was one more hit, baby. Just one more. I can quit.
Yeah. One thing that keeps me away from becoming a statistic.
Oh, dear.
Oh, sorry. Getting back to the American thing. Yeah. I don't know. There's probably someone out there, but, like, no real high-profile case of someone who, died from overgaming, but tragic cases of child neglect.
Oh, man. And they make tongue-in-cheek fun of this on things like The Guild, but this actually happens.
Yeah, and it's bad. I mean, I think some children have actually died from this, just the parents just get lost in this world and the children are unsupervised and, It's really tragic, and like, as a dad myself, that really kind of I can't even imagine a game being that good,
right
or that. But I mean, if it's not the game, maybe it's alcohol, and if it's not alcohol, maybe
right.
Part of it's not, you can't blame the game. It's probably, blame the game, don't blame the player. No. But,
right. Well, like, all biochemical, let me say that again. All addictive behaviors have the same biochemical qualities to them.
Oh, yeah.
As my wife was very happy to point out to me recently, there was this study released that shows that the internet, people addicted to the internet produce the exact same amounts of like dopamine or like whatever, chemical changes in the brain happen when you take cocaine, or any other highly addictive drug. I'm not surprised by that, honestly. No. Just like I'm not surprised by, just gaming having the exact same effect. And the only difference being that there are fewer outward signs that this is happening. There's physical deterioration because of what like drugs do to your body. But if you're addicted to electronics, then, the only things you have are like fatigue and then stuff you can't see, like heart strain. And then you just die because there's no outward sign.
You're scaring me now. Okay.
Well, I mean, you have to like be ignoring most of your bodily functions, not taking in water, because you can die within a few days without sufficient, fluid intake.
Yeah, definitely.
And so if you imagine people like maybe going up to go to the bathroom, if even, and like not doing yeah. anything else for like 2 or 3 days straight, your body's just going to freak out.
That's absolutely crazy. One of the things that keeps me from getting caught in this fix like that is my short attention span. Like, we've talked about this in a previous podcast of all the games that we've started to play but haven't finished and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's some that you just, for like 2 or 3 days, it's like all you want to play. It's like, I must continue this game. This game is the best game I've ever played. And then you're like, ah, I'm done with that.
Right.
I don't know, though. Let me think. Infinity Blade. Mm-hmm. Came for me in two spurts. When I first got it, I played it like crazy.
Yeah.
And then I put it down for like, I don't know, 6-7 months. And then recently I picked it up again and I'm like, why did I stop playing this game?
Right, right.
It's a really good game. Well, then again, they did release an update that had added new stuff. So,
uh-huh.
And the new stuff goes a long way. But anyway, yeah, great game. So I finally played it to completion and now, this goes with our topic. I am avoiding starting a game of Infinity Blade 2 because I'm just too busy right now. I have too much to do at work.
Yeah, yeah. I have similar issues, which is, you know, I think I mentioned this before, but like Mass Effect 3 is going to come out right around the time that my first child is born. And I already know it's just going to take precedence, so I'm lamenting, you know,
But you should tongue in cheek. But you should still spend some time with your kid.
No,
hey, this is your first kid. You don't know what to expect, but with Mass Effect, you're guaranteed.
Oh man, no, I'm lamenting tongue in cheek like my lack of game time, but I don't think I'm going to want it. Like I think I mentioned too that my wife got me Arkham City for Christmas.
Oh.
I've gotten all of 2 hours with it since then, and it's almost a month after that. It's like 3 weeks since I've gotten it. And it's just because I'm busy. I got other things to do. I'm prioritizing, and the game doesn't take precedence. Now, you know, granted, in the back of my mind, it's just like, oh, man, I'm watching Sherlock when I could be playing Arkham City.
TV is less involved, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's true. The interactivity does take a toll on you if you've been working, you know, 12, 14-hour days, which... I'm sure you're familiar with, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's like, I don't want to actually, you know, interact with it right now. I just want to watch it play out. So I watch TV or play Final Fantasy 13.
Right.
And
oh, boo! I got that.
Sorry.
Press A to win.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful game, and their hair is breathtaking. So Square Enix, I still love you. But, you know. Anyway.
Yeah, most iPhone games when I first got my phone. So Angry Birds, I went through. And because I'm crazy like that, I refused to move on to another stage unless I had gotten 3 stars on the previous one. Unless it was particularly difficult. And so I was like, screw that, I'll come back to it. And I always do. So this may be maybe out of the original Angry Birds, like 2 or 3 that don't quite have 3 stars yet.
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten through even on early stars any of the games. You know, the Angry Birds is a game I play when it's like, waiting for the bus.
You know,
this looks like a job for Angry Birds.
I just realized I'm wearing my Angry Bird shirt that we got at Tokyo Game Show on the train platform, more specifically from the developers.
Yes.
I was also at
I've seen that developer in the news.
Yeah,
he's kind of a famous guy.
Yeah, right. And they're definitely pushing the merchandise. And I've heard people say they're getting sick of seeing Angry Birds everywhere. And I was just at a clothing store today, and they were like Angry Birds T-shirts and Angry Birds hoodies. And I'm just like, wow, okay, I'm starting to see it now. this is a little obnoxious.
I mean, it wouldn't be so popular unless it was fun, and it is a fun game.
Yeah, I'm not complaining that they're popular. It's just like they really are everywhere.
Yeah, well, you gotta make money somehow when you sell a game for 99 cents or free.
Right, exactly.
So, but they're making plenty of money.
No kidding. Another game was Game Dev Story, which, you know, Grant, even though it was like a port of a cell phone game, originally, still quite addictive.
I'd say I can't get that time of my life back, but if I got that time of my life back, I would spend it again playing Game Dev Story.
Oh man, what?
If you don't have Game Dev Story, get Game Dev Story. No, don't. If you have free time, get Game Dev Story. But Game Dev Story is, oh my gosh, the game ends after 20 simulation years, and I think they did that to keep people alive. Because if it didn't, I would be that mouse just hitting the Game Dev Story button until I died. Oh my, that game is... Have you ever started playing a game thinking, I'm just going to play a round of this, and 5 hours later you go, what happened? And then you go back to playing it? That's Game Dev Story.
Yeah. That's precisely my experience with it. That and Civ 5.
So I played it. I played it and I beat it well, you know, unlocked all the, you know, I played it and got really high, you know, and then they released an update where it had Game Center, and I'm like, oh, I'll just unlock a few of the achievements, you know, and then I played the whole thing again, you know, like I had two stints with it, and then I started finding their other games. I have no interest in cars at all, like, pretty much no interest. I ride a bicycle to work, but... they've got a story called Grand Prix Story. It's like Game Dev Story, but Grand Prix races. And
wow.
It pulled me in the same way. Karyosoft? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Everything they make should not have been... the FDA should be informed of these developers.
Yeah.
And they're a Japanese company, and... I think they make these games just to keep America down.
Aww.
Because that's why they're releasing English translations of them, because it's reducing Americans' productivity.
No kidding.
Because these games are so addictive. Okay, that's...
There was this Onion article about, maybe it wasn't the Onion, but like, you know, one of those fake news sites about, yeah, like, the release of StarCraft 2. You know, they just made the entire Korean economy stop for a whole week.
Yeah.
You know, that's not too far from the truth in some cases.
Oh, well, yeah. But anyway, good games. So I think the main thing is have you ever had someone – have you ever consciously gone, this game is too good for me to play right now?
Right.
I mean, I think once you – you know, when you're a kid, no, you know, I will play this game – until my parents tell me to stop playing it, or I require another bowl of sugared cereal.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, if you're married like we are, there's always the nag factor, which I don't mean in a derogatory term, just like, you know, people who actually care about your health and well-being and will be like, stop.
Those jerks.
that's partly how I got out of playing Civ 5, but the other reason was that I found that I actually just like starting new games more than I like actually like playing through the end, and it's just like the exploration part, like discovering a new world and like learning how to navigate and like find new continents and just seeing what's out there, and then when I find that out, I'm done. I don't have to play it to the end anymore, and that's part of why I stopped, because it's just like, well, what's the point of this? And I wish we had more time, because we could probably do a whole show actually about like the utility of gaming, like, you know, what is its worth? Why do we play it in the first place? Why do we keep playing
it? You know what? That sounds like a really good topic, but one we should probably do a little bit more research on. So
definitely.
Let's add that to the list. And to our listeners out there, I'd say, what game has sucked up enormous amounts of your life? Tell us your horror stories about games that almost took you to the edge. Or games that right now you are very interested in trying, you've heard they're really good.
I heard that.
The hit is really strong, but you're avoiding it for health reasons.
I heard that Mommy Tummy game was pretty awesome. Although no one can play it right now.
Oh, man. So if any of you, well, by the time this podcast comes out, it'll have aired, right?
No, they're just going to film it.
Okay. If anybody watches The Doctors, which is, I don't know, what is it like? A medical version of The View. I don't even know what this is, because I don't live in the States anymore. But apparently we're going to be on it. Or might be.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. We're allowing them to use our footage from Tokyo Game Show. Yeah. So, you know, if you we'll let you know when this show does actually air.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you'll see Vink at the very least, and possibly Tak from the Amari Tones, if they use any of his clips where he's the father. Yeah.
But it's crazy. We've put out so many videos, and they're going to use this one on a show that totally misses our demographic.
But, right. I just hope that these people watching the show have kids who are geeks, yeah, and would love to see our stuff.
But anyway, so as always, write in, and one of the replies we got from our last show. I think I need to read here because it is a poem.
Okay.
Dedicated to Famicom Dojo. And we'll close on this today.
Yes.
This is from BumblebeeZ3, and he's currently playing Nano Assault for the 3DS and Abobo's Big Adventure. For breakfast, he had leftover pizza, or it could have been lunch since he didn't get any sleep in today. So he writes a poem. Now I hope I'm reading this right. And,
sure.
And adequately epic, but
gotta use the right cadence and lilt and all that.
Goes as follows. Famicom Dojo. I visit more often than a Hojo. Orange and Vink are quite good. Esoteric info brought forth to be understood. Hope y'all don't lose your mojo.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's a Hojo?
What's a Hojo? Howard Johnson's.
Oh.
At least I hope.
I hope, Joe.
But yeah. But yeah. Now he said that contribution he thought was closer to the rubbish end of the spectrum, but that's one of the better things we've ever received.
Hey, we read it. So.
So thank you very much, BumblebeeZ3. So if any of you have a poem, a haiku, well, anything else, we read every comment that comes in, and we're always happy to see your stuff. With that, I think we're gonna wrap up for this week. Do you have anything to add?
Nope, just that if you are writing a haiku, Famicom Dojo is 5 syllables. And if you want to send those haikus to us, just feel free to check out our show notes at famicomdojo.tv. Yes. Write us a message on Twitter. I'm sure that there'll be plenty of room for haikus and 140 characters. We're also on Facebook, Famicom Dojo, YouTube, That's Orange, and anywhere else on Powat TV, 4 Color Rebellion, and awesomeness will ensue if you check out any of these locations and the other awesome things they have to offer. So,
Famicom Dojo. Constant nagging will follow. Buy our DVD. That's 575. Okay, so we're gonna end on that.
Wow. All right, thank you, everyone. I'll see you next week.
Famicom Dojo.